Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we have J.D. Vance, who's running for Senate in Ohio. And what do you know about TikTok? Well, if you don't know very much, what if I told you that your kids and grandkids are being propagandized content on TikTok without them probably even realizing it? There is a White House strategy to try and manipulate and convert young people to be Biden lovers without a lot of people even realizing it. That and so much more. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Take out your podcast app, type in Charlie Kirk Show and hit subscribe. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Come to our Young Women's Leadership Summit, tpusa.com/YWLS, or our Student Action Summit, tpusa.com/SAS. If you'd like to support our program, go to charliekirk.com/support or join us on tour, Boulder, Berkeley, Fullerton, tpusa.com/tour. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. How do you make a lie seem like the truth? What is necessary for a totalitarian regime to exist? Well, when you study totalitarianism, it's very clear that it's not just tanks in the streets or mass surveillance, but instead it's the totalitarian control of the mind. There were five authors in the late 1940s and 1950s that were pioneers on the topic of totalitarianism. C.S. Lewis, of course, with the Screwtape Letters, and lesser known for this category, but better known in general, Mere Christianity, which actually started as radio broadcasts during the Blitz of London. Aldous Huxley, who wrote Brave New World, probably one of the most important books that anyone can read to understand the sexual anarchy that we are living through today. And why do totalitarians and dictators need to decay sexual norms to be able to have monopolistic control over a civilization? George Orwell would be the third. Of course, 1984, Animal Farm. We talk often here about 1984, about how one of my favorite lines of 1984 is when Orwell says the best way to keep a secret from the government is you must first keep the secret from yourself. The fourth is a lesser known author that we really should talk more about, Arthur Koestler, who wrote a book called Darkness at Noon, all about the Soviet show trials and how people who were completely innocent were killed in a public display. And the fifth author, of course, was Winston Churchill, author of over 50 books and talked a lot about totalitarianism. Churchill in particular was very worried about how technology unrestrained from human virtue could not just result in tyranny, but would automatically result in tyranny. Churchill argued that technology was more than a tool. He witnessed this in the Darvish region, where he saw very courageous people going into the battlefield and just being mowed down by machine guns. And he realized that war has changed, and technology can bring out the worst in people. So those five authors all agreed that in order to have a despotic government, in order to control the individual, it's not just about controlling the movements or what they can purchase, but it really is a control of the thoughts. It really is about the control of how do people view themselves? What is right? What is wrong? What's happening in the world? You cannot have a totalitarian government without some sort of strategy, hopefully successful for the totalitarian, hopefully unsuccessful for the freedom lover, implemented to control the thoughts of a nation. The best example of this, of course, would be under the Soviet Union. The Soviet Union, of course, had Pravda, which literally means organ. It means the kind of distribution network. Pravda is also a word for truth in Russian, which, of course, is great irony. Pravda was a broadcast sheet. It was a newspaper. It was formerly the official newspaper of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union. We use that word Pravda often. It was the official state-sponsored news outlet. The jokes of Pravda would, of course, be that, you know, there would be a massive famine and Pravda would say bountiful harvest for all in Russia. They would challenge reality with an iron fist to try to put forward their totalitarian vision for the people. Pravda, in its heyday, reached millions of people. In fact, at its top, it reached well over 11 million people in Russia, especially in the key districts around Moscow and St. Petersburg. Pravda still exists. It's still run by like a small part of the Communist Party of the Russian Federation, not taken very seriously. You can actually visit the website pravda.ru. It's privately owned, and the international editors, it's published across the world. It's a joke, and no one really takes it seriously. They have Russian television now, and they still have some of the kind of infrastructure that used to exist. But the Soviet Union was powerful domestically for many reasons, but one of them was their ability to be able to communicate and propagandize their domestic population to say, do not believe your lying eyes. Now, in order for this regime, the Biden regime, to have complete control of the citizenry, they need to engage in the same type of warfare. They need to get into the Pravda business, and they have. Now, of course, they control CNN, and they control Hollywood, and they control the biggest media outlets in the country. But I'm going to tell you about a story that we've known about, we've talked about a little bit, but we're going to dive deeper into it here. About how the Biden regime is modernizing the Pravda-esque outreach, the organ, the quote-unquote truth, for a technological era. Now, many of you listening right now on radio or watching on Rumble.com or listening to us on a podcast, you probably aren't active users on the new place where America's future gets their values, gets their political identity, and finds out who they are. No, it's not the church. It's not even the Oscars. It's not Netflix. It's TikTok. TikTok is an awful application. It should be completely banned in America. I've been very clear about that. TikTok ruins the soul. I hate TikTok. It's awful. We've been saying that for years. There is no redeemable value of TikTok, period, whatsoever. It's a Chinese military operation. But we at Turning Point USA engage on it because that's where kids are, reluctantly, begrudgingly. I refuse to get it even near me. If it's even within a 100-mile radius, I start trembling. I just have to excommunicate the TikTok usage around me. I think it brings out the worst in people. However, it's popular, has over 138 million active users in the United States. Most TikTok users are young people by the ages of 10 to 19. Why parents allow their kids to use TikTok, I don't understand. You might as well just allow them to use addictive drugs. Because TikTok is just as harmful as drug use can be for young children. Studies are showing social media addiction, social identity issues, all these sorts of things. 29% of people that use TikTok are ages 20 to 29. 60% of people that use TikTok are the ages of 16 to 24. So this is the sweet spot. So what if I told you that the White House, the Biden regime, has a full-time team that does nothing but brings in these TikTok influencers, trains them on what to say, and then they parrot it back basically through the organ, if you will, of state regime media. White House advocacy TikTok campaign was actually a Democrat front the entire time. Gen Z for Change, a 501c4 nonprofit, enlisted communications consultant and two-time Democrat presidential campaign staffer Madeline Twomey and its senior advisor and founding board member, according to the organization's website. A coalition of left-wing TikTok users claiming to be an advocacy nonprofit is advised by a longtime Democrat communications operative, according to records reviewed online by the Daily Caller. Twomey has two-year connection to the Biden staffer, and basically what happens is Gen Z for Change, they will bring in social media influencers to the White House. The Biden regime will teach them what to say, and they'll parrot it word for word. Gen Z for Change leadership claims the TikTok platform was, quote, to keep power away from traditional gatekeepers. Instead, they are becoming state-run media for the Biden administration. No different, by the way, than the publication of Pravda during the Soviet Union. If you're serious about controlling a nation, you must control the minds. And the Biden regime knows that in order to control the minds, you must control what's being said on TikTok. If you have a kid or grandkid on TikTok, they are being personally propagandized by Ron Klain, by Jen Psaki, by Joe Biden. Who is the most prone to revolution? Your grandkids are. And it's happening on TikTok. For a couple years now, people have been setting up a contest between crypto and gold. But that's like comparing a truck with an SUV. Both carry stuff and travel from A to B, but they do different jobs. Gold's job is to keep the value of your money safe and preserve its value. And since Ukraine, the oil, and the inflation crisis, it's done a brilliant job compared to stocks and other investments. So if you're worried about what's going on right now, who isn't? Just talk to an expert at Noble Gold about precious metal IRAs for your retirement. They'll put you straight on your options and hold your hand through the whole setup process. And this month, for any qualified IRA, you'll get an incredible 3-ounce silver American Virtue coin completely free as a thank you. So call 877-646-5347 now to find out more or visit NobleGoldInvestments.com. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com. So this AstroTurf communication strategy from the White House has been bubbling up for the last couple of months. We knew that the White House was employing these TikTok influencers. But now some, I guess you could call them whistleblowers, are coming out and saying, we were just told to parrot direct talking points from the White House. And this Gen Z for Change is an organization, coalition of 500 content creators who leverage the power of the internet to educate and mobilize our generation to create change. Originally founded as TikTok for Biden, as a network to defeat Donald Trump, ultimately capturing 324 million views. Now, that's pretty weak if you know anything about Turning Point USA's ambassador program. Purely educational, not political. These numbers are low. But what they are doing now is they're basically becoming a public-private partnership within the Biden regime, where Biden is stuffing his unpopular ideas to now get into the phones directly of your grandchildren or your children, or maybe you yourself if you're listening. It says right here that they generated 48,000 petition signatures against Florida's Don't Say Gay bill alongside a coalition of incredible grassroots activists and organizers. You wonder why some young people are so uninformed and misinformed? It's because the regime realizes the fight is beyond just newspapers and what's happening on TV. It's happening right on the phones, and they're good at it. What's an example of this? Well, let's play cut 122 of one of these quote-unquote TikTok influencers outwardly and nakedly peddling propaganda, Pravda, of the state. Play cut 122.
I had the opportunity to ask the White House why gas down the street is $7, and here's what they said. The obvious reason: we are getting out of a two-year pandemic. When use goes up, price goes up. Now, with Putin starting this horrific fight between Ukraine and Russia, nobody wants to work with him and do an international trade. So, with people being scared of war and limited resources, prices are bound to go up as well.
So this is a young lady by the name of Ellie Zeiler, 1.7 million followers on Instagram, and it looks like 10.6 million followers on TikTok, with over 356 million likes on TikTok. Rather considerable. Just parroting very basic kind of Democrat propaganda talking points. I'm not going to attack her. She's just a spokesperson. She doesn't know any better. And in some ways, you feel sorry for her, but she's a typical celebrity that just, here, say this. Okay, here's this video, and I'm going to do this thing. But it goes straight. That right there is seen by more young people than anything else. Now, again, thankfully, at Turning Point USA, our ambassador program, we're countering a lot of it educationally, to push back against left-wing ideas, statist ideas, and all of this. So it's not like they're doing this in a monopolistic way. Ambassador program is something we've been pioneers with at Turning Point USA. But never before have we seen the government of the United States attach itself to this sort of digital outreach mechanism. Fox News report on this, play cut 123.
Well, now one TikTok star says he cannot argue with critics who say the White House is using them as pawns. The Daily Caller reporting the White House's advocacy TikTok campaign was actually a Democrat front the entire time. It says it reviewed records which show a longtime Democrat advisor coaching the influencers. That falls in line with what TikTok star Khalil Green told Newsweek, quote, I felt like a lot of the recaps from influencers were not critical. They seemed to repeat exactly what the White House was saying.
Pravda. Cut 121. Here's another example of a TikTok influencer reporting from the White House. 121.
So I just got off of a Zoom call with the White House about the situation in Ukraine.
I had the opportunity to ask the White House why gas down the street is $7, and here's what they said.
Hey folks, so I just had the pleasure of joining a White House briefing with a senior official from the National Security Council.
What was that like?
It was a fantastic experience. It was as though you watch a regular press briefing on TV with Jen Psaki. It was very similar to that, just on Zoom with about 29 other creators and me. And they, for the first 15 minutes or so, they briefed us on what the United States is doing to help European allies. And then the remaining 30 minutes, we were able to ask questions like journalists about concepts that our viewers or questions that our viewers wanted answers to.
Now, to President Trump's credit, they tried to do this and they were so assailed by the media, they kind of backed away from it. It's important to know that the terrain where this war is being fought is beyond just CNN in the news briefing room. Biden and his regime are investing heavily into corrupting your children and grandchildren and the places they consume content where they otherwise would not be even thinking about politics. Let's talk about cancel culture on social media websites like me and what you can do about it. The left wants to silence and boycott any voices they don't agree with. That's why I'm banned from Twitter. Twitter and Facebook were supposed to be open platforms. I don't need their content moderators acting like the op-ed section of the New York Times. So instead of letting social media sites cancel your right to free speech, how about canceling them instead? Now you could just deactivate all your social media accounts, but they would just be giving the left what they want in the first place. Instead, I use ExpressVPN. Ever wondered how free-to-access sites like Facebook make all their money? Well, by tracking your searches, video history, and everything you click on, then selling your valuable data. When you use ExpressVPN, you anonymize much of your online presence by hiding your IP address. That makes your activity more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. And ExpressVPN couldn't be easier to set up. You just tap one button on your phone or computer, and you're protected. So it's finally time to say no to the censorship and take back your online privacy at expressvpn.com/Charlie. By visiting my special link, you'll get 3 extra months of ExpressVPN service for free. Again, that's expressvpn.com/Charlie, expressvpn.com/Charlie to protect your data today. There's a very important Senate race that is heating up in the state of Ohio. We're less than 1 month away from the primary, and it really will be a test for the future of the Republican Party. Is the future going to be kind of in the corporate Republican direction? Will it kind of be in the same sort of talking point direction? Or is there space for a new type of Republican, one that will continue the progress made by President Trump of securing stronger trade deals and restricting immigration, but also being very strong on family issues, pro-life issues, and really taking a stand against the alphabet mafia and what they want to do for our country. With us right now is J.D. Vance, who's running for Senate in Ohio. I have endorsed J.D., so that's my full disclaimer, and I'm proud of it. J.D., welcome back to the program.
Thanks, man. Good to be with you.
So, J.D., let's start with this grooming topic. You've been unafraid to talk about it. It seems like a lot of Republicans are running to the hills. What do you have to say about this this issue of the government coming in and saying that we shouldn't teach children, you know, sexual education, and the backlash from the left? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, it's really weird, right? I mean, these people get very sensitive over the accusation that they're groomers, and at the same time, they react like complete lunatics when you pass a pretty common sense piece of legislation that says you shouldn't sexualize children. And we're not even talking about all children, right? It's a very narrow bill from K to three. I mean, I think you shouldn't be talking to kids about sexuality and gender theory at all. But this is like super young kids from K to three. And I always say to these people, like, look, if you don't want to be called a groomer, don't take this very common sense, moderate, frankly, Florida bill and act like it's the end of the world. You know, some of the stuff that's happening out there is just like, 5 years ago, Charlie, I would have said this is a crazy conspiracy theory. There's no way this is happening in our country. I saw today that in New Jersey, they're in their state curriculum actually going to start teaching second graders about gender identity and sexuality And this is crazy. We want parents to make these decisions. We certainly don't want schools to be making them. And look, I don't think that it's appropriate for any 7-year-old child to be talked to by a stranger about their sexuality and gender identity, especially when we know so many of the people that are involved in the teachers' unions, involved in developing the curriculum, have just completely gone off the rocker.
I mean, I can't imagine this is popular in Ohio, right? I mean, Ohio is an interesting state. So it's traditionally a battleground state. Democrats used to do well, but it seems like it's becoming more conservative, more red around these types of issues, right? I mean, I can't imagine in like Athens, Ohio, there's like a clamoring class of people, except maybe at the university, that really want like, you know, first graders to be taught about chemical castration.
No, you'd think not, actually. And, you know, this in some ways, certainly when I talk to people in Ohio, you know, we just did 4 events actually yesterday as part of our campaign. You know, we're pretty fired up about this stuff. When I say this stuff, I mean culture war topics in general, right? Our voters want us to fight to protect the unborn. They want us to fight to protect the innocence of children. They actually want us to do something about the indoctrination of their kids in schools. Like, they don't want the cut tail and run type of Republican. They actually want people who will actually, you know, wage these battles. You know, it's not all about economics, right? That's what so many Republicans, they're comfortable talking about tax policy and regulatory policy. And of course that stuff matters. Yeah, but one of the things I've talked about on my campaign, Charlie, is sometimes these things are connected. Like, you can't separate the massive movement towards giving kids hormonal blockers, prepubescent children hormonal blockers, if you can't recognize that some of the people who are profiting the most from this are massive pharmaceutical companies that are lobbying for preferential policies that destroy our kids, but of course enhance their bottom line. So, man, the culture war is being waged. I don't think that we started it. I don't think conservatives started this fight, but certainly we're going to join the fight, and we're going to fight back in order to protect our kids.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and so we're at a place now where, you know, the old GOP, and I think it's really highlighted in your race. I think your race is a great example of this. I don't have to say any names. You can if you want, but there's just some candidates that are just kind of going through the motions of just kind of what Republicans used to always say, like lower taxes. And I want lower taxes, obviously. I think our tax rates are too high. But there's this whole other kind of urgent conflict happening in our country right now, in our classrooms, in our churches, that it seems the Republican Party needs to not just weigh in on this, but lead on this, and then also come up with solutions that resonate with normal people. And so talk a little bit about that, because, I mean, you could go through the whole spectrum of the Republican Party, and it's very clear in your primary.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. You definitely have some Republicans running in the corporate model of the GOP, the Chamber of Commerce model. You know, one example is, you know, this guy, Mike Gibbons, who's actually a nice guy, but he's proposed raising taxes on middle-class Americans and, of course, middle-class Ohioans. And you sort of look at what's going on in our country and you recognize that, you know, Amazon, Google, Facebook, Apple, they pay a lower tax rate than any middle-class Ohioan. Why are we raising taxes on middle-class Ohioans, right? Why aren't we cutting their taxes? Why aren't we cutting the taxes of the businesses that are creating jobs in our state and actually fixing the real problems that exist with some of these multinational corporations that are in bed with the communist Chinese? It just shows a total distortion of priorities when we're talking about, you know, hurting middle-class Ohioans while we let all these companies off the hook. You know, another thing that comes up is, you know, we're obviously talking a lot about big tech because our voters care a lot about big tech. And you have some of these guys who say, well, you know, Facebook is a massive monopoly. The solution to Facebook is just to log off Facebook. And it's like, look, Facebook controls American democracy right now. They control how people vote. They control the information that people see. If your solution to that problem is to just tell people to log off Facebook and not maybe go at the heart of the monopoly power that's been destroying our constitutional republic, then you got to wake up and realize what time it is, man. This is not the same set of problems we had 30, 40 years ago. This is a radically different country, and it needs radically different solutions to solve the problems.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of those. I mean, you have a new ad out that the media has lost their mind over. I think it's great, where you're talking about immigration, which seems to be the top issue for a lot of on voters' minds. Title 42 might be rescinded. You know, the current kind of senators of Ohio seem uninterested in this topic, even though it directly affects Ohio through labor and wages and drugs and all of this. Talk about immigration. This is a great issue where Republicans traditionally have talked an okay game, some not, and then do absolutely nothing. But you're leading on this issue.
Yeah, I mean, so you look at the crisis at the southern border, Charlie, and it affects us in Ohio in 3 very direct ways. One, massive increase in fentanyl coming across the southern border, killing a lot of our people. leading cause of deaths among 18 to 45 year olds in our state is fentanyl that's coming across the southern border. Two, massive increase in sex trafficking. You've got teenage kids being sex trafficked from Central America in Ohio communities. That's obviously unacceptable. And three, you get wage competition because a lot of these guys come in and they compete with middle-class Ohioans for jobs. All three of those things very directly affect the type of community, the safety and security, the prosperity of the people who live here. But if you dare complain about what Joe Biden is doing at the southern border, you're a xenophobe, you're a racist. And it sort of hit me that the people who accuse our voters and our people of being racist, they don't care about race. They don't care about skin color. They don't care about, you know, increasing compassion or understanding between white and black Americans. What they do is they found a rhetorical weapon they can use to silence people from complaining about the conditions of their own country. So we decided to cut this ad that really went right at the heart of that and said, look, you know, are you a racist? That's how the ad starts. Are you a racist? Of course you're not, right? You care about the southern border for all these other problems that it causes. And of course, the media reaction to this ad, you're right, they've gone completely insane. It almost proves the point that I was trying to illustrate by cutting the ad in the first place. And if you even talk about this issue, you get accused of something false when what you're really concerned about is love of your own country, love of your fellow citizens, their safety and prosperity.
Why is it that, I mean, there's some obvious answers, but I'd love your take. Why is it that Republicans, especially ones that are elected, they seem much more interested in foreign borders than our own?
Man, it's a great question. And of course, that's illustrated well by what's going on. I think that I saw a statistic that for every 20 minutes that the media focuses on the Russia-Ukraine crisis, they focus 1 minute on the American southern
that's
border.
That's probably, of course, if you count that is Fox News in that calculus. It probably goes down to like 2 seconds if you remove Fox.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, there is a terrible tragedy going on in Russia and Ukraine. I don't deny it. But we have much more significant problems closer to home. And I mean, I see a real effort to distract from our problems going on. Right. If you think of Russia and Ukraine, it allows Joe Biden to stand up there and act like a tough guy. It allows Kamala Harris to go to Poland. And, you know, maybe she sounds like an idiot, but she at least is talking about, you know, issues that are affecting us in the world. It serves as a major distraction from their own failures to govern domestically. Think about the inflation crisis. Think about the cost of fertilizer skyrocketing, which is hurting Ohio farmers, but also down the road is going to mean a lot of our people can't afford food to eat, right? Think about the southern border and all the drug problems. Think about so many of the problems that are making our people less free, less secure, more poor. And Joe Biden doesn't have to talk about that stuff because he gets to talk about the border of a country 6,000 miles away. I think this is very intentional. I think the media knows what game it's playing. And the thing I always, you know, warn conservatives, Charlie, you know, those conservatives who want to project a strong America in the world, who care about America being the beacon of freedom, democracy, is I say, look, you go to war with the generals that you have. I know you've made this point too, Charlie. The generals we have are Joe Biden and Kamala Harris.
And
I do not
Milley.
Trust
are
these people.
Me? Yes.
In General Milley. I do not trust these people to escalate this situation, which is why I say, let's focus at home. Let's not allow these idiots to blunder us into a major war.
Yeah, I've said that from the beginning. I say, look, I have my own personal opinions of whether or not we should get involved. I say no. But let's pretend you're right. Let's say you know something I don't know. It is inarguable, even for the most aggressive war hawk, that Mark Milley is not even close to what we should be going to war with. I mean, everyone on the right agrees with that. I say, okay, so we mess up Afghanistan, which was a total tragedy. It was awful. It was a disaster. And then you're like, okay, let's now use the same team for that. Doesn't make any sense.
No, not at all. And think about one of the main consequences, man, the main tragedy of our departure from Afghanistan was how many weapon systems fell into the hands of our enemies.
$85 billion.
Right? The Chinese caught up technologically in this very profound way because a lot of our advanced weapon systems fell into their hands. This is why we have to be careful about escalating this situation, because if it becomes a full-blown hot war with American involvement, we're not just going to lose American lives. We're going to lose American technology advantage. We're going to lose weapon system into the hands of our enemies. Yep. This is a very dangerous situation for our country. And look, we've got the worst people in the world driving the ship. I want to avoid the iceberg, not drive right in the middle of it.
Go to jdvance.com to help out JD in this last push. I am going out there. I don't think we've announced this yet, but we will soon. I guess we're announcing it now. I'll be there the last Sunday and Monday, helping out in my personal time with JD, doing whatever I can to help rally the troops. I love Ohio. It's one of my favorite places in the world. I think more presidents have come from Ohio than any other state except Virginia. Is that right? Something like that.
That's right.
More astronauts and presidents. Actually, might be more than Virginia. Being an entrepreneur and running a business is not for the faint of heart. I have two jobs. I do the Charlie Kirk Show till noon, then Turning Point USA till I go to sleep, and all the problems in between. A lot of stress. 330 days on the road I spent last year. But if you're not careful, the stress can start to take a toll on your body, raising your blood pressure, making it harder to sleep, draining you of vital energy, and making you more irritable. That's why I recommend you supplement with magnesium daily. But 75% of people are magnesium deficient. That number might be higher among business owners and C-level professionals. That's because stress depletes magnesium levels. This can trigger a vicious cycle of rising stress and severe magnesium deficiency. This deficiency can lead to higher levels of anxiety, irritability, trouble sleeping, and low energy. It can even contribute to foot and leg cramps while you sleep. Now, you might be wondering, does magnesium really affect all these things? Well, the answer is yes. In fact, magnesium is involved in more than 300 chemical processes inside your body. So a lot of different things can start to go wrong if you're deficient. The good news is you can experience a number of positive health benefits just by getting enough magnesium, including better sleep, more energy, healthy blood pressure, less irritability, calmer mood, stronger bones, reduced muscle cramping, and even a few migraines. But to experience these health benefits, you have to get the right kinds of magnesium. Truth is, most magnesium supplements you find in health stores use the only two cheapest synthetic forms. They're not full spectrum. There are actually 7 unique forms of magnesium. You must get all of them if you want to experience its calming, stress-relieving effects. That's why I recommend Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. It's the only full organic, full spectrum magnesium supplement that includes 7 unique forms of magnesium for stress relief, better sleep, all in one bottle. Simply take 2 capsules before you go to bed, and you'll be amazed by the improvements in your mood and energy levels. And how much rested you feel when you wake up? How much more rested you feel when you wake up? For an exclusive offer for my listeners, go to magbreakthrough.com/Kirk and use Kirk10 during checkout to save 10% and get free shipping. Right now, that's magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. That's magbreakthrough.com/Kirk. Kirk10 for 10% off any order. JD, I am banned from Twitter. Elon Musk has bought a portion of Twitter. What are we to do about this? We win back the Senate. Let's say you're on the committees. What could you do, JD Vance, to put a check on big tech's power?
Well, first of all, you're right, man. Elon did buy nearly a 10% stake in Twitter. Now he's on the board. And I think if he wanted to do a great public service for America, Elon should let you back on Twitter. But he should also let Donald Trump back on Twitter.
That's right.
Right. Even the people who get annoyed at Donald Trump's Twitter profile have to admit it was a great source of political comedy for our country. Right. Like, we actually had a politician who recognized how humorous the whole political system was and actually cracked some jokes about it. That's maybe the thing I miss most about Trump's Twitter profile. But look, man, I fear at the end of the day that a guy like Elon buying Twitter buying 10% of it doesn't actually solve the deeper structural problem of big tech in this country. I mean, Twitter isn't even the most important one, right? Google, Facebook, Apple, much more significant companies in our daily lives. So look, let me just illustrate this, right? So we all know the way that these companies affect our politics. So the Hunter Biden laptop story, I think the suppression of that story by itself cost Trump millions of votes, which before you even get to the election day problems, that what happened before election day, I think probably cost Trump by itself the election. The other thing that's going on, man, is if you take all of these companies, they're also not just affecting our politics, they're affecting our culture too. So you know, Google, Charlie, when you're alone after your show, just type into Google, can a man become pregnant? And the first result that you will get is yes, men can become pregnant. In fact, it happens more often than you might think. Now that's it's funny for us to joke about this, but think about it.
You're right. Right here,
kid.
It says, yes, can a man become pregnant? Yes, it's possible for men to become pregnant and give birth to children of their own. That's Google right now.
Yeah, you're right. And we can joke about that all. It's so absurd. But think about a 12-year-old where their authoritative source of information is going to be typing a question into Google. You realize these guys are transforming our entire culture. Oh, so I think we have to I'm sorry to ruin your day, but I think there are 2 things that we have to do. We have to be willing to update our antitrust laws to break these companies up. And I actually think we need to go after the whole business model of big tech, which basically steals our data, right? All of our cell phones and all of our, you know, internet activity is secretly spying on us, and then they sell our data back to us in the form of targeted advertising. I think it's time to really put a lid on that. If they're going to steal our data, they've got to pay for it, or at least notify us when it's happening.
Yeah, and you know, you being in the Senate, you'll be a bulldog. That's another thing people have to realize is that, you know, senators can kind of carve out their issues, right? Lindsey Graham, his issues to invade every sovereign country, you know, in the other hemisphere. You know, Marco Rubio is really kind of into the Cuban thing, which, as you would expect, right? Ted Cruz, you know, into oil company type stuff and oil, natural gas. But you as a senator, you'll make big tech like one of your things, right? Like that will be something where you're constantly issuing letters and you will not let go of it.
Absolutely. And I'm not going to be one of these guys that gets embarrassed when we haul these tech company CEOs and ask them questions about yes. what's going on, right? It's really sad when you've got these Republican senators who clearly have no idea what's going on. And Zuckerberg or Dorsey or whoever else just runs circles around them. You're never going to get to the bottom of this stuff unless you have senators who understand how these technologies work. And yeah, man, it's to me, this is maybe the most important single issue, because if you can control what people see, what information mm-hmm. that they have access to, you can control how they think, you can control how they speak, you control how they vote. So this is really the power to control the world's greatest country. And that is something that we have to be very careful of, especially given the business relationships between the big tech companies and a lot of our biggest enemies, including the CCP.
And the CDC as well, which is important to remember. Tons of money being pumped in from the federal government to subsidize these tech companies.
That's right.
J.D. Vance, it's jdvance.com. Thank you so much, and I will see you in a couple weeks. Keep working hard in the great state of Ohio. Talk to you soon, J.D.
Thanks, man. Looking forward to it.
Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.